This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, friends, Bruchim Abam, how's everybody doing? We're continuing our Friday Shir. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. We've been speaking about the subject of being Tzipisa LeYeshua, awaiting the coming of Mashiach, which actually we're working on a Sefer on that, translating the work of the Chafetz Chaim. And it's near completion. You know when it will be near completion? At the end of this year, because I think this will be the last topic that we discuss in this series. And this is an amazing question that somebody actually apprised me of this week. And I forget the gentleman's name, but I appreciate he lives in Givat Zev. And he asked me if I'm going to be dealing with this question. And I'll tell you the truth, I was not aware of this question, but I woke up to work on it this morning, and it's a very interesting question. I actually mentioned in the Daf Shavuos here last night, we know there are 13 principles of faith. Yud Gimel Ikrim. Who created the Yud Gimel Ikrim? The Rambam. Where did the Rambam get that there are Yud Gimel Ikrim? We're going to discuss that. At first glance, it seems unusual. We have 613 mitzvahs. If anyone doesn't believe in anything in the Torah, they're a kofar. So what exactly does it mean that there are 13 principles, 13 tenets? Presumably, a tenet means something that without it, the whole binyan would collapse. What is a foundation? A foundation is something that without it, the whole binyan would collapse. I understand why belief in God is a tenet of Judaism. Without it, there could be no Torah. I understand why reward and punishment is a tenet, because without it, the Torah cannot stand. I understand why the divine origin of the Torah is a ikar. Without it, the whole binyan cannot stand. But we know the Rama made Yud Gimel Ikrim, and one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is the belief in the coming of Mashiach. Many people say after davening, Ani Ma'amin Be'amuna Shalema Bevias HaMashiach. The Rama did not write that. Those are not the words of the Rambam. It's based on the Rambam. The question is, and this is a little bit of a, it might sound like a brazen question, but the more you think about it, the more of a good question it is. Why would Mashiach be a tenet of Judaism? You know, wearing tefillin is not a tenet of Judaism. Did you know that keeping Shabbos is not a tenet of Judaism? Shabbos is not one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Even though if someone doesn't keep Shabbos, they renounce their status of being a Jew. If they pick up wine, it's yayin nesach. So if you don't keep Shabbos, you renounce your status of being a Jew. But Shabbos is not one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So why in the world is Mashiach one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim? You know, we've been around for 5,784 years. Mashiach hasn't come, and we've done pretty good with the Torah. I mean, we've been keeping the Torah since Hashem gave it to us. You know what? We've even been expanding it. There are a lot of svarim on the Torah. Is our religion missing something? Are we not missing it? There was a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have it right now. But how could you say that belief in Mashiach is an ikar? What exactly about Judaism would collapse if Mashiach would never come? It sounds like a brazen question, but you know who asked this question? The Chassam Sofer himself. In fact, the Chassam Sofer asked this question so compellingly that the Chassam Sofer concludes it is not a tenet of Judaism to believe in the coming of Mashiach. Think about it. You've lived your whole life, Mashiach never came. Well, you're not Jewish? Of course you're Jewish. So why do you have to believe in come? Now, of course, if you don't believe in it, you're a koifer. There's no question. If you don't believe in Makas Tzfardea, you're a koifer, right? If somebody says, I believe in the whole Torah, I just don't believe there were ever frogs in Egypt. So they're a koifer. But Tzfardea is not one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Let's say a guy says, you know, I believe in the whole Torah. I just don't believe you have to keep Shabbos every week. Every 23rd week, you don't have to keep Shabbos. So he's a kofar. But it's not one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. There are a lot of important things. Just because something's important, it doesn't make it an ikar. So why is the belief in the coming of Mashiach an Iker? Comes a Chassam Sofer, he says, it's not. Chassam Sofer says he doesn't believe anybody actually thinks it's an Iker. Think about it. You've lived your whole life and you don't even know anybody who ever lived when there was Mashiach. Your entire Judaism has nothing to do with Mashiach. There's not one thing you do from the moment you go to sleep, wake up, to the moment you go to sleep, that is predicated on the coming of Mashiach. So why would Mashiach be an Iker? You know who asked this? The Chassam Sofer. Take a look. The last tshuva in Yaradeya. Yikarasa higiani. I got your honorable letter. Inyan avikuachem yesh yud gimel ikram a gimel. By the way, I want to tell you another thing. It's not only the Chassam Sofer. You know that the Rabbi Yosef Albo says there are only three ikarim. The existence of God, Hashgacha Pratis, and Torah Min HaShemayim. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you're a koifer. But it's not one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So Rabbi Yosef Elbo believes there are three Ikarim. Says a Chassam Sofer, the first thing is, Lo Yadati Shum Nafkusa Kiyim Kriya Shemovan. He says, I don't know any Nafgamina between whether there are three Ikrim or 13. Uladas HaMekubalim Ein Kan Ikr. According to the Mekubalim, this is not a principle. Ki kol koitzim shel Torah him ikarim abin zelza. According to the Mekubalim, there are no ikarim. By the way, you could ask on that the Shlach HaKadosh says that the Yud Gimel ikrim correspond to Yud Gimel midos harachamim. Which might be a reason why we say Yigdal, for those who say it in the morning. Why are we saying Yigdal? To get a piyut about the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Why are you saying a piyut about the Yud Gimel Ikrim? Because Yud Gimel Ikrim correspond to Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. So before you daven, you want to elicit Rachamim Shemayim. Now, you could also ask on the Chassam Sofer, there is a nafgamina whether something is an Ikr or not. You know what the nafgamina is? Somebody is a Tinok Shenishba. Let's say somebody grew up on a remote island off the coast of Madagascar. And he doesn't know that there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. So he doesn't know there's a mitzvah of tzitzis. Is he an apikairas? He's not an apikairas. He never learned. What if he never learned that there's something called tefillin? Is he an apikairas? No. What if he never learned there's something called Shabbos? Is he an apikairas? No. But if he didn't learn about one of the ikrim, even though it's not his fault, he's a heretic. Because as Reb Chaim would say, Nebuch an apikairas is oichet an apikairas. Even though he's a Nebuch, but he's still an apikairas. So that's the nafgamina, whether there are three ikrim or 13. Because if there are three, then the Nebuch apikairas is only an oichet apikairas for three. And if there are 13, the Nebuch apikairas is for all 13. But the Chassam Sofer clearly is not working with that. Now he brings from one of his students, Abbezin of Ungvar, in the tefillah of Rav Tevyumi, that's mentioned in the Shlah, that the Yud Gimel Ikarim correspond to Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. So that, like we mentioned, implies that the early tradition of Kabbalah has a tradition of Yud Gimel Ikrim. However, says Chassam Sofer, that may or may not be the case. I cannot believe at all that the redemption of the Jewish people is not a principle of faith. And if that foundation principle fell, the whole edifice would fall? Not true. Let's say, heaven forbid, our sins would cause that we would be banished forever by God, which Rabbi Akiva holds happened to the Aseres HaShvatim. You know, Rabbi Akiva holds that the 10 Shvatim sinned so egregiously, they're lost forever. So let's say we would sin like that. Would we allow to cast off the yoke of heaven because of that? Could we say, I'm allowed to talk by Chazar Sashatz now. Now that Hashem sent away the Jewish people, now I could have my phone out during davening. Of course not. Doesn't matter if God's never going to redeem us. You still can't violate a Dairaisa or a Drabana. well, now that there's no Mashiach, I'm going to go walk out for the Haftarah and drink schnapps. No, too bad on you. Can't do that. Doesn't matter if Mashiach will never come. So the Chassam Sofer says that he says, he doesn't believe that anybody would say that belief in Mashiach is a tenet of faith. Now don't clip out what I'm saying, because you have to read the whole thing. Of course if you don't believe it, you're a Kofer. But it's not one of the Ikrim. Ikar means one of the principles upon which the Torah stands. He says, Chalila, Anachnu Loinavoid Hashem Lecho Pri Haaretz V'Zvoya Mituba. We don't do mitzvahs because one day God's going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael and He's going to give us peace in our land. Lasois Ritzon Chalikai Chafatzti. God, my will is to do Your will. V'al Kol Panim, V'al Kol Oifen, Avdei Hashem Anachnu. And in every situation, we are servants of God. Yase imanu kirtzen v'chafzai. Let God do to us as He wishes. We don't care what Hashem's going to do for us. It's irrelevant. We serve Him because we serve Him. By the way, the Chassam Sofer speaks like this many places. There's a famous story about the Chassam Sofer, about a Rav who had the opportunity to save one of his constituents from being in jail. And it would require the rabbi to swear falsely. And the Chassam Sofer instructed the Rav is obligated to do so. He said, even if it means you're going to go to Gehenim, you are responsible to take care of your constituents. What, you serve God to get Gan Eden? You serve God for reward? No, you just serve Hashem. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, Ein ze ikar v'lo yisoid livnos lev shum binyan. The coming of Mashiach is not primary. It is not a foundation to build any Torah worldview upon. But the foundation of everything is to believe in the Torah and the prophets. V'sham nemar gula seinu. There in the Torah it says we're going to be redeemed. B'parshas nitzavim, b'parshas hazinu. Like the Ramban says, in Parak Lamed, Pasuk Aleph, Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Mem. The Harbibas of Adam, many places in the prophets, Mkain, Misha Mefak Megagul. If you don't believe God's gonna take us out of Golos, Hala Hare Kaifer Baker, you're a Kaifer. In the Torah and the Nevi'im. But listen very carefully to the Lamdas over here. If you don't believe that there were frogs in Egypt, you're a Kaifer. And if you don't believe God's gonna redeem us, you're a Kaifer. Whatever it says in the Torah, you must believe. It's just the belief in the coming of Mashiach is not a principle of faith. Meaning, it is not one of the principles and the foundation principles upon which the Torah stands. You know what the proof is? Did you know that there is an Amora in the Gemara who says their Mashiach won't come? You know about this? Hillel in the Gemara. Not Hillel, Rav Hillel. Rav Hillel, you can look it up in Sanhedrin, Sadik Tesamadav, says, Ein Mashiach li Yisrael. He says, there's no Mashiach. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says that means that there's no guy named Mashiach. Nobody's going to come. No rabbi is going to come with a beard. And he said, who are you? I'm Rabbi Mashiach. He said, how do you know? Look, here's my card, my business card. It says, says Mashiach on it. So, but what's your Mashiach identification number? You know, he gives you 976354. You scan it. And Taka, the guy's Mashiach. No. Rav Hillel says there's no such thing as a person who's Mashiach. Hashem Himself will be Mashiach. Meaning Hashem will redeem us without a Shliach. Says the Chassam Sofer, obviously that's what Rav Hillel meant. He didn't mean there's no concept of Mashiach. Because the Shach Levatar in the Gemara proves that. Because the Gemara, otherwise, why would we ask on Rav Yosef from Ani V'Roichev Al-Chamar, why would Rav Yosef ask on Rav Hillel from Ani V'Roichev Al-Chamar, which you could say is going on Nehemiah, why doesn't he just bring Psukim outright in Zechariah, that there will be redemption? The answer is, of course, Rav Hillel believes in Geula. It's just he doesn't believe Mashiach will be a Melech. Now, do we paskin like Rav Hillel? Absolutely not. We paskin there will be a person who is Mashiach. We don't pass on like Rav Hillel. What if somebody says, well, you know, my personal opinion is, I agree with Rav Hillel. So we say, pal, well then your personal opinion is apikarsis. He says, what do you mean? Rav Hillel was a big rabbi. No, not, yes, but we don't paskin like him. And halacha therefore concludes there is a person named Mashiach. And if you don't believe that, you are a koifer. However, it's still not an ikar. Someone who says there's no Mashiach, and he says, I hold like Rav Hillel. He is a heretic in the whole Torah. The Torah sets forth a principle. Follow the majority. Kivan sharabu alav chachmei. So since the majority of sages overruled him, v'amru dulai kavaseh, they say not like him. Shuv ein adam ra'i l'himashich acharav. Nobody could follow him. K'may al derech mashal. Says Chassam Sofer, give you an analogy. In the place of Rabbi Lezer, they would cut wood to make coals to fashion iron for Milan Shabbos. Right, you all know Rabbi Lezer holds not only is Mila Doicha Shabbos, but Machshirei Mila is Doicha Shabbos. But most Chachamim disagreed with him. So let's say a guy publicly cut wood to make holes, to fashion steel, to do a Mila on Shabbos. If we warn him, we would stone the guy to death. But he said, what do you mean? I hold like Rabbi Lezer. We said, you can't hold like Rabbi Lezer. You can't hold like Rabbi Lezer. The majority of sages hold not like him. That's why many people say, well, I follow this opinion. I can't be a sinner if I follow that opinion. Sir, you can be the biggest sinner in the world. It is irrelevant that there's a rabbi who says you're allowed to do this if we don't paskin like that rabbi. That's how halacha works. Says the Chassam Sofer. Therefore, if somebody says, I don't believe in a human Mashiach, they are a sinner, and they are a koifer, but they are not a koifer be'ikar. Meaning, they're not koifer in an ikar principle of the Torah, but they are a koifer in the ikar of emunah in the Torah. In other words, belief in Mashiach is not one of the Yud Gimel ikarim. However, if you don't believe in it, you are a heretic. So the question is there any way to understand the opinion of the Rambam? Because everybody knows, it's almost impossible to understand this Chassam Sofer because he's challenging the Rambam. He says he doesn't believe anybody actually thinks that the Yud Gimel that Mashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Now, if I could beg your indulgence, if I'm not mistaken, there is an Abarbanel. Let's see if I could find it. If I'm not mistaken, the Abarbanel has a completely different take on the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And I have to take a very close look at it. Whether the Abarbanel's understanding of the Yud Gimel Ikrim would be an answer to the Chassam Sofer's question. I don't remember it well enough right now. But I'm going to try, Bli Nether, to take a look at the Abarbanel. This morning I want to share with you two approaches to answer the Chassam Sofer's question. I have an intuition that maybe according to Abarbanel there would be another approach as well. Look in the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis on Chelek. The Rambam clearly says a 12th principle of faith, Yemois HaMashiach, V'hu lahamin ula'ameis sheyavoy, you have to believe it will come, V'lo yachshev sheyisacher, don't think it's never going to happen. If it delays, wait for it. Don't set a time. Don't start calculating it. Fine. Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer HaIkrim disagrees with the Rambam. Sefer Ikrim quotes the Rambam that, according to the Rambam, one of the Ikare Hadas is the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam even holds, if you don't believe in the coming of Mashiach, you are not Jewish, meaning you renounce your Judaism, and you don't have a chelik in Olam Haba. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva also says, you're a koifer. Says the Sefer Ikrim, he disagrees with the Rambam. Now, the Sefer Ikrim is taking it further than the Chassam Sofer. Because the Sefer Ikrim writes, well, what about Rav Hillel? Rav Hillel was an Amoira. He says there's no Mashiach. Because it already happened in the times of Chizkiah. That means, what would the Rambam call the Amoira Rav Hillel? Says the Sefer Ikrim. The Rambam would call the Amoira Rav Hillel a Koifer. So then why does the Gemara call him Rav Hillel? Not only shouldn't he be a Rav, he's not even Jewish anymore. And why would the Shas quote him? And don't say they quote him to ask on him, because then they should strip him of his title of Rebbe. Now, that question the Chassam Sofer already answered. The Chassam Sofer says the Rambam would never call Rav Hillel a Koifer. The Rambam, because Rav Hillel believes in Mashiach, he just doesn't believe Mashiach was a person. And the truth is, once we paskin not like Rav Hillel, anyone who subscribes to Rav Hillel's opinion would be a koifer. But the Sefer Ikrim says the belief in the coming of Mashiach is not a principle of faith. He reiterates that in Maimer Aleph, Perek Chav Gimel, V'chein emunas b'yas ha-Mashiach al zeh ha-derech, ki hu anof mistoiv min ha-ikra ha-shlishi, shu ha-schar v'oynesh. It's merely an offshoot of the general category of reward and punishment. Part of that reward and punishment is to believe that God will ultimately bring justice to this world. And this is an accepted belief that any person faithful to the Torah should accept this. And finally, in Chelek, in Maimer Dalet, Perek Mem Beis, the Sefer Ikrim says, look, belief in the coming of Mashiach is an obligation on anyone who is a Baal Torah Moshe. Because we are obligated to listen to the Nevi'im, like the Pasuk says, Elov Tishma'un. And the Nevi'im prophesied openly about the coming of Mashiach. And that means anyone who doesn't believe in Mashiach, or he's a Koifer in the Nevi'im, and he's Oiver Mitzvah Saseh. But despite the fact that if you don't believe in Mashiach, you're a Koifer, belief in Mashiach is not an ikur. Belief in reward and punishment is an ikur. Someone who doesn't believe that there's reward and punishment ultimately denies an ikur. However, what if a guy says, I only believe in the reward in the afterlife, or even resurrection, but I don't believe that there'll be justice in this world in the times of Mashiach? Says the Sefer Ikrim, he's not a koifer be'ikr. He's a koifer. He doesn't believe in the Nevi'im, but he's not a koifer in one of the Ikarim. Another proof he brings, what about according to those who say Schar Mitzvah Ha'amaleka? Is that opinion a koifer? The answer is, belief in Mashiach is required belief. And if you don't believe in it, you're not a mammon in the Torah, but you are also not a koifer and one of the ikrim. That's the opinion of the Sefer HaIkrim, and that is the opinion of the Chassam Sofer, not like the Rambam. So this gentleman sent me two approaches. The first one I'm not sold on, really. And the second one I think I could explain decently. The first one, from Rav Moshe Shapiro. We know that Rav Moshe Shapiro brings the Rambam, established 13 principles of faith, and all the other mitzvot are offshoots. Now, one thing's for sure. Let's say somebody doesn't believe that the 17th time it says Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar Zmin Hashemayim, he's also a koifer. If someone denies even the slightest halacha, they're a koifer. But when we talk about ikrim, the Rambam established that there are 13 cardinal principles of faith. What the ramification of that is, it's not clear. Reb Chaim said, like we mentioned, that if you don't know it, even because of ignorance, you're also a kaifer. But the question is, where did the Rambam get that they're Yud Gimel Ikrim from? How does the Rambam know there are 13 principles of faith more than, in other words, maybe it's tefillin, you know, or maybe it's there's 7 principles. You know, where does this come from? How do we know some mitzvahs are more important than others? So Rav Moshe Shapiro says the following, as follows. He says it's Pashut. The Rambam got it from Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Psukim by Yetzias Mitzrayim say, so you should know there's nobody like God. Laman teida ki ein kamoini. Laman teida ki ani Hashem bekarav ha'aretz. And it says you need to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day of your life. Which means that Yetzias Mitzrayim is like the fundamental principle of everything. And all the miracles and all the wonders are publicizing that God took us out of Mitzrayim. So there is nothing that ever happened to us that we are not required, that we are required to remember more than Yetzias Mitzrayim. First of all, God said we should remember it every day of our life. We wear tzitzis to remind ourselves. We wear tefillin to remind ourselves. Every time you walk out of a door, we remind ourselves. Shabbos reminds us. So obviously, Yetzias Mitzrayim is the cornerstone of our religion. The Ramban famously writes that the general rule of all the mitzvahs was because originally people began forgetting God's reality and God's omnipotence and providence and control. So Hashem wanted to re-demonstrate His existence and His control of the universe, what was once understood when He created the world. He, so to speak, redid it with Yetzias Mitzrayim. He showed that He's Mechadshoi, He's Yoideya, He's Mashgiach, He's Yachol. And when it's predicted beforehand, He's showing the truth of Nevuah. And by doing so, the whole Torah is Niskayim. Now, if you look carefully, the Ramban has basically listed all the Ikarim. The Ramban is saying that people denied God's existence, His foreknowledge, His providence, His control, and the miracles demonstrated that these notions were wrong. It taught there is a God who knows. Number three, He controls. Number four, He has ability. It was predicted beforehand. There's prophecy. There's Torah. The Ramban has established that Yetzias Mitzrayim demonstrates most of the Ikrim. And the miracles come to publicize that. And the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to get the Torah. So Rabbi Moshe Shapiro suggests, when the Rambam establishes the Ikrim, that's because one of the seminal events in the history of the Jewish people, according to the Ramban, was to establish all of these principles. That's why we tell the Rasha, if you don't accept Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're a kafar be'ikr. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim demonstrates all of these ikarim. So now the question would be though, okay, I would say that's pretty good. Because when you look in the Ramban, where he describes what Yetzias Mitzrayim demonstrates, it demonstrates God's reality, His foreknowledge, His hashgacha, nevuah, Torah. But it's not like you get all Yud Gimel Ikrim from there, because you could ask, well, how do you see Mashiach from Yetzias Mitzrayim? Say, Mashiach, we've mentioned so many times that the Sefer Mitzvos Katan says that part and parcel in remembering the Exodus is remember that Hashem redeemed us from Egypt, and He will likewise redeem us from our current galus. So Mashiach, the future redemption, is also one of the things that were demonstrated with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Don't forget, again, I just want to emphasize another point. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is for Matan Torah, which means, it seems like Rav Moshe Shapiro is learning, that the foundation that the Torah stands on are the what we learned from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Again, the Ramban didn't say anything about the belief in Mashiach, but like we pointed out, since the Exodus is synonymous with the coming of the future redemption, that perhaps the Rambam holds is also a tenet that we see from Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, actually, in a way, this is somewhat of an approach, and in a way, not at all. Because, you know, the Sefer HaIkrim learns there are three Ikarim. And you could look at the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim and say, okay, we only see those three Ikarim from Yetzias Mitzrayim, namely God's existence, His providence, and prophecy, the Torah. But we don't really see anything about the future redemption. So, if the Rambam derived it from Yetzias Mitzrayim, what gave him the ironclad proof that the coming of Mashiach is one of those tenets that we derived? Unless he holds so compellingly, like the Smak, that it's part and parcel of the Exodus is that Hashem will redeem us. So this is sort of one approach of why the coming of Mashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, because if you understand where the Yud Gimel Ikrim emanate from, namely, the foundation, in other words, what's the foundation of the whole Torah? The Exodus. So the principles that we see from the Exodus are the foundations of the Torah. In other words, what Rav Moshe Shapiro seems to be saying is that what are the fundamental foundational principles of the Torah? Yetzias Mitzrayim. So whatever tenets we glean from Yetzias Mitzrayim are what the Torah stands on. So the Rambam perhaps would say, well, one of those tenets are that God will redeem us, like the Smak says. So that would make it that the Bias HaMashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Another approach, which I think is very interesting, is from Rav Shimshon Pinkus in the Sefer Emunah, page Reish Yud Gimel to Reish Yud Dalet. He quotes the question of the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer is matmiya on the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get that belief in Mashiach is an ikar? Meaning, of course we believe God will redeem us, but why is it one of the principles of the Torah? And if the Mashiach would never come, chas v'shalom, okay, so then that generation who doesn't see it will be no different than any other previous generations who didn't see it either. And they all went to Gan Eden, and the last generation will go to Gan Eden. But why is belief in the Gula Achroina, how is that an ikar that without it the whole Torah is batal? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus explains, and I'm going to explain it perhaps and put it in a different context. He said, belief in Mashiach is not an ikar because of what will happen in the future, but it's an ikar for us right now. Why? Because think about what would Jewish life be like if God would never will never redeem us. Think about it. Let's say Mashiach will never come. So the Chassam Sofer says, how will that change your life? Says Rav Pinkus, it will change our life very, very fundamentally. All of Judaism is based on the idea that we have a covenant with Hashem, that He forged with us at Har Sinai, and that covenant is primarily in Eretz Yisrael and at the Beis HaMikdash. Now, a covenant is only a covenant if it's eternal. Because if Chas Hashem, God will throw us away, so then it's just like a business deal. He gives us mitzvos and then He rewards us. But we don't have a covenant. Because even the nations of the world, they're not allowed to sin. But they're not going to be redeemed. So they have reward and punishment. So why do we have to believe in the coming of Mashiach? The answer is, let's take the following analogy. What is our relationship with Hashem? What is our relationship with Hashem? What do you say? Are we, is it a business deal? So one way we could look at it is God's our husband and we're the wife. Okay. And what's our status right now? If we were filling out a form in the doctor's office, would we say we're married? Would we say we're divorced? Well, you know, what would we say? We would say we're married. What do you mean? But did God divorce us? No. It's an estranged marriage. But we're still married. We're still married. That's what Judaism is based on. However, if Mashiach will never come, then we're not married anymore. So you say, okay, does that change Judaism? The Chasam Sofer says, no. It's not an ikar. I want to explain it a little differently. If Mashiach will never come and God will never take us back, then what are we to Him? I don't know, we must be His servants then. Are we God's servants? Or are we more than that? The answer is, of course we're more than that! We're His beloved children! Really? If we're His beloved children, we can't be His beloved children if He's not never taking us back. It is only possible to be considered His beloved children if He didn't ban us eternally. In other words, I would argue the reason why belief in the coming Mashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim according to the Rambam is because of what the Chidah says. Do you know what the Chidah says? Is the fundamental principle that the whole Torah stands on. The Chidah writes, it's even in all the books, in the opening page, it says, Haloi zeh hadavar, ki kvar noided is known, asher pinas yikras, the cornerstone principle, yisoid musad, the foundation, la'adas Yisrael, the Jewish people, mi mitzrayim v'yadhinah, from the day we left Egypt until now, hu hayois Yisrael b'nei kel chai, that the Jewish people are the children of the living God, v'chavivim Yisrael, and we are beloved, shenikru banim, this is the cornerstone principle from the day we left Egypt. If I may, most of the mitzvahs in the Torah, Chidah teaches, Reb Chaim Falaji teach, are predicated on the notion that we are the beloved children of Hashem. We can only keep Shabbos because we're the beloved children of Hashem. Mashiach will only come because we're the beloved children of Hashem. If Hashem is never taking us back, heaven forbid, that means our relationship with God is we just serve Him. The whole Torah would fall. Chas v'sham. The entire Torah is predicated on the fact that we are the beloved children of Hashem. I would argue that's why Mashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Because if you say He's never taking us back, then our relationship with Hashem has been undermined and we are merely His servants and the whole Torah falls away. Indeed then, the coming of Mashiach is a very fundamental principle. Perhaps this would be an answer to the Chasam Sofer's question on the Rambam. Why the Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shelema Vias HaMashiach is one of the Ikarim. Because indeed, the whole Torah would be nafal if, chas v'shalom, our state has nothing to do about what will be in the future. Our grandparents didn't see Mashiach. Our parents hopefully will. But our great-grandparents didn't, and the generation before didn't. So if they didn't believe in Mashiach, then it was okay? Of course not. The reason why they needed to believe in Mashiach is not for the future of their progeny. It was for them. Because the fact that God is taking us back, it reflects what our connection to Him is. And that is, it's an unbreakable connection. We are B'nai Kel Chai. We are Banim Chavivim. We are Banim Ma'alya. This, the Chidah says, I would argue, not only is this an ikar, it is the Iker, as the Chidah says, Pinas, Yikras, Yisoid, Musad. It is the cornerstone principle and the foundation of everything. So maybe this would be an answer to to the question of the Chasam Sofer. Okay, if you want to stick around, we're going to do a little Pirkei Avos, then you're more than welcome.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.